we'll try to move right along here. First thing we need to do is approve the agenda. You have the agenda in front of you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved and Tom seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. You also have the minutes from our January 23rd meeting. Any corrections, revisions, additions, deletions?
Move approval.
Move approval. Mort seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, action item, approval of governance documents. General counsel, first off, bylaws.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you have, we have circulated previously some relatively modest changes to the bylaws and procedures, and we'll go through them in turn. It's important to note that in addition to the bylaws and procedures, we have under review and are working on revisions to the Code of Ethics. And we are holding those back until next month because the changes there were more substantial, and we wanted to take some time to make sure that we had all of the important cross-references captured before we came back to the board. But I'm raising that for you now because you'll notice in the bylaws and procedures there are places that contemplate and adjustments that are made in contemplation of the Code of Ethics revisions that will be brought forward next month. So
nothing you want to bring back next month would require us to go back to these to see it now?
That's correct. That's correct. These have already contemplated that, and they shouldn't need to be revisited. So the first change that I want to direct your attention to in the bylaws is found in Article 3 on page 4. And this is one of the changes that we discussed last month and that will come forward formally in the ethics code is the establishment of the ethics committee. And the ethics committee we are recommending and was reviewed by the committee last month will be comprised of the executive committee. So what we are suggesting here is two things. One is that we formally recognize the executive committee in the committee section of the bylaws. Previously, the executive committee was referenced only in the board officers section here on page 4, but we have moved that back to later in the bylaws article 7 committees and expanded upon
procedures of the bylaws.
I'm sorry, bylaws article 12 on page 14 is where the executive committee was moved to. And so that change was made here to make it clear that that is a standing committee of the board and also to contemplate and prepare for the cross-reference there to the board ethics committee that will be further elaborated on in the board, in the code of ethics when we bring that forward next month. So that's the first change that we're recommending on page 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are paper copies of this available if that makes it easier for you to.
Oh, you had a question on page 4?
Yeah. In striking the provisions on page 4, and then they can put in later on, unless I'm missing it, I think you've lost the
makeup of the executive committee.
That is in the procedures document. Okay. And if you go to the procedures, in your materials, it's page 31 of 33,
mm-hmm.
or page 7 of the procedures.
No, still doesn't do it. The current provision, the one that's struck, indicates that the executive committee is made up of the chair, first vice chair,
yeah.
But will include one representative from each signatory and one from the federal government. That is not included elsewhere, as I read it now.
Okay, thank you. We will add that.
Yeah. And that, the other question, that does require careful selection of who the chair, first chair, second vice chair, and past chair are to assure that all four jurisdictions are represented. But the way you've done it, you left that out.
Thank you.
And that's why, therefore, there's a conflict. But I wouldn't want to see an executive committee that didn't include.
Well, but the makeup of the executive committee is not exclusive. So if the officers did not include, say, someone from the federal government, you could add an additional member.
Then I think that should
committee.
Be. Then I think right. That should be explicit, that both includes those parties who are selected without regard to jurisdiction, and that all jurisdictions are represented, which might mean a slightly larger committee.
I don't think there's anything in the language that has been proposed that would prohibit an additional member for the executive committee.
But there's no provision.
Shall include, does it mean shall only include?
No, but shall include. There's nothing here that mandates that.
Right, right.
That
I'm agreeing with what
yeah,
you said,
right,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right, but therefore.
Right.
Oh, well, if I can inject one point here. I think our rules require, in order for us to have a quorum, you have to have a representative in each of the jurisdictions,
that's correct?
Right. I think this language here about these officers shall be elected without regard to jurisdiction of residence, really, and some of this took place before I came on, but I think it goes back to the point that when you select a chair,
yes,
the
right.
chair should be selected, shouldn't be rotating right. around, basically, and went more to that as opposed to you can just pick, you know, four people from Virginia to say at least would be the four officers. I think that's where that particular line had reference to. So I think what I'm saying overall arching is that the underlying requirement that we have somebody from each of the four jurisdictions on a committee
would still apply
to the executive committee.
But only if you appointed the proper members. We had
right.
four
yeah.
officers which did not include someone from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Then that executive committee couldn't meet, but still wouldn't get.
Well, I understand, but I mean, so whenever the chair is elected, though,
yeah.
that has nothing to do with jurisdiction. But once that person is selected, you have
then
to make
you
sure
need
the
to
other
be
three
attentive.
Represent
no, it
the other
say
three
so.
Jurisdictions.
But you could do it with the language that Mort suggested. I think you would also be able to appoint another member to the executive committee if you did not have a representative from the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
If it doesn't exclude an additional member, the way I understand it.
Well, I understand the academic yes. discussion, but the reality is the governance committee would not propose a slate
okay.
to the full board that did not have representatives from the four jurisdictions. So, I mean, that's the practical
that's
answer.
Okay.
I'm looking for belt and suspenders.
you're included, Mort.
Yeah.
Don't worry
I'm
about it.
We'll take care. I also question whether something as significant as that should be in procedures or whether it should, in fact, be in bylaws, because there's more protection about how bylaws can be amended.
Well, we can certainly leave it where it was in Article 3 in the bylaws.
Well, you could put it down under the committee in the bylaws, but wherever.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we? You're saying now, you're suggesting we leave this language in?
Or put something like it under the committee.
Oh, okay. In other words, so move some of this language to the explanation of the committee under Article 12. Okay, can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. You okay?
I'm okay.
All right. Next change. And by the way, I'm going to just have us vote on this one time, taking all the changes at once, unless committee feels otherwise. That okay?
Okay, by me.
Okay. Yeah.
The next, are you ready? The next change begins on page 9, which deals with executive sessions. Article 10, page 9. I'm sorry, page 16 of the board packet. And there are two changes here that are suggested. The first change is to clarify that the board's ethics, that in the Code of Ethics, it will provide that the Ethics Committee may meet in executive session. And so we needed to contemplate here that, as required by the Code of Ethics deliberations, matters, those matters could be held in executive session. And then the second change was down in the new paragraph 8, which just incorporates an exception that's in the MWA bylaws, allowing closed sessions to discuss pending or proposed legislation. And I want to talk a little bit about this. One of the things that we are looking at as staff and that we want to have further discussion with this committee next month is looking to the MWA Code of Ethics as a template or at least a very important resource for this board to consider. And the reason I'm focusing on MWA right now is, as you may be aware, at the end of 2012, there was a federal IG, DOT IG investigation and report that came out that took a very, very hard look at the board procedures for MWA. And as part of that review, the DOT was personally involved in reviewing and approving the MWA Board Code of Ethics. And it just makes sense to me that we should look hard at what was approved by the DOT, the federal DOT, when we are looking at our Code of Ethics. And that's one of the reasons we have kind of slowed down bringing back to this committee our recommended Code of Ethics changes, because I want to be very careful to consider fully what the DOT has blessed, if you will, in the in our counterpart agency. So,
I mean, at that time in history, the DOT actually appointed an ethics officer.
Yes.
To assist MWA in
drafting those very that very code.
And notwithstanding that, the Congress has now said the federal IG should have direct authority over MWA, including the opportunity to go to their executive sessions of the board.
I understand. And I understand. I actually have spent a lot of time on the phone with MWA's ethics officer. I have talked with her at length about exactly what they do, what training they do, what materials they have. I mean, I spent a lot of time trying to understand this. But it just seemed to me that it was important for us to learn from that experience, and I'm trying to bring into this, into our governance documents, what we don't have that they do where it makes sense to us.
Good.
So
that's a good idea.
This recommendation is a result of that review.
Good. Okay. Any reaction to that? Anybody? Everybody okay with that? Good. Okay. Good idea. Next.
The next is on page 10, and again, we just clarified in anticipation of the Code of Ethics that executive session would be permitted as provided in the Code of Ethics procedures.
Okay.
The next page, this is in Article 12. Section A on committee structure, we've just added the executive committee as a formal standing committee of the board.
Okay.
And then on the next page, which is Article 2B, Paragraph 2, Committee Membership and Meetings, this change is made to permit the Ethics Committee to deliberate. We're contemplating in the Ethics Code that the committee there may be deliberating without the attendance of other board members when necessary for the privacy of the or consideration of the ethical issue. And so we have here that the board member may attend unless otherwise limited by the Code of Ethics. You'll see in the second paragraph of Section 2 that's what we're contemplating there.
Okay. Next.
On page 20 of your packet, or 13 of the bylaws, there's a suggested change to the Audits and Investigations Committee. And we discussed this last month. There is a recommendation from the Financial Management Oversight Audit that the audit committee be, would be improved if it had a public session at least two times annually, that it, if it met, it was required to meet at least two times annually with the Inspector General and with the external auditor, once before and once after conducting the audited financial statements. So this is a recommendation that hasn't yet been formally finalized by the financial management audit, but we have seen a preliminary finding in this area, and because we were doing this at this time, we just thought it was prudent to go ahead and, and make that change to the audit committee.
Any comments, reaction to that?
Clarification?
Yes.
It says two times annually with the Inspector General and with the external auditor. Does that mean two times annually with the external auditor?
No, it does not.
It means two times annually with the Inspector General.
Right. And with the external auditor once before and once after.
Okay. Because it's a little ambiguous. You could probably do it, meet in public session at least two times annually, at least two times annually with the Inspector General, and meet with the external auditor once before and after conducting.
I think that does it.
Okay.
And in the first part, the public sessions, have we thought what those sessions might entail?
I'm sorry, I'm lost on
what
where you
what the agenda might be for a public session of the Audit Committee.
Oh. Well, I think that there, I'm sorry, I thought you were asking your members. I think that there may be matters that are reported in the Audit Committee that would be appropriate for public,
public
session, okay, where they are either final findings of the audit, of the that are being, you know, where they're not deliberations but have progressed to a point where they have been final.
And would it not call out the yearly audit?
Yearly audit, probably.
That, yeah. That's
only adopted in
open
board session, but audit committee could do a presentation on it
and then recommend it to the full board.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on that? Next.
On the next page, under the governance committee, actually, if this is a new paragraph to just define what the executive committee function is. Again, previously the executive committee wasn't called out as a formal committee. So this just says that the executive committee is responsible for sound board processes, additional responsibilities assigned by the chair, and serving as the board ethics committee pursuant to the board's code of ethics.
Okay. It's pretty straightforward.
Yes,
sir.
At least in practice, the executive committee has served as the liaison point with the RAC and the Accessibility Advisory Committee. You might want to put that in here as well.
Okay.
Good point. Anything else on that? Okay.
So those are the final changes. That's everything on the bylaws. There are also changes in procedures when you're ready to go to that.
Okay, but why don't we take the bylaws and vote on that separately. Is there a motion to accept the changes as proposed with the revisions that we made here orally as far as some sort of wordsmanship? It's a rough motion, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I move that.
Okay, you move that in a second. All right. All those, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next, procedures.
Okay. In the procedures, the first change is in the very first page of the procedures, but it's page 25 of your materials. And this language, we've added a new paragraph B under board communication that clarifies the board's communication with the general counsel. I'm pretty confident that this exact language was previously reviewed by you. I don't think this is new language.
No.
So we just have inserted it in the place in the procedures that we thought it was appropriate. So it just contemplates, you know, the dotted line relationship, and establishes a regular meeting, a regular time for the general counsel to meet with the board in executive session, and clarifies that the board may request a meeting with the general counsel at any time, and the general counsel may request a meeting with the board at any time.
Okay. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Next.
The next changes are begin on page 30 of the packet, under the board committees. And this will now kind of close the loop on some of the earlier discussion we have, where we've already described earlier how the executive committee membership is determined by the we clarified that earlier, that it's the chair, the vice chair, and the federal member. So we've exempted that from the formation paragraph where it says that the committee membership is appointed on an annual basis by the board. We've already talked about the second paragraph there.
That came out of the board.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Evaluation.
I'm sorry. This was another change that was suggested by the financial management oversight audit to make it clear that to the extent that we have available from appointed board members, that there should be at least one member of the audits and investigation committee that has expertise in financial matters. So that was another recommendation
but,
of the.
But
of
the wait, you skipped over one, I thought. Oh, no, that's it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just gave context for that.
Okay.
The third one is the one we've already gone over.
Okay.
And on that issue of expertise in financial matters, my recollection is that the legislation adopted in the three jurisdictions identify that the governor and other appointing officials should look to give us at least one such person.
Right. And
whether they will or not, we don't know.
Right. And we're trying to recognize here that it's not within our control.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we get who we get. But that to the, you know, to the extent it's available from our fabulous, members,
okay.
That there should be some consideration.
Moving right along here. This is what it is. Okay, and then there's a last change, I guess, the allegations of...
Yes, the allegations of misconduct. We have moved that section entirely to the Code of Ethics.
Okay.
It just seemed to fit there now, to be more appropriate there. So that'll...
So there will be no more allegations of misconduct going forward, correct?
In procedures.
Not in procedures.
They're going to go by law.
Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to accept these... changes and send them on to the full board?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Is that it, Madam General Counsel?
That is.
That's it. We'll bring these in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in
oh,
one week.
One week. One week. Okay.
Yes.
And let me also, once again, I mentioned in the other meeting, let me mention it now, is that as we go forward and look at the Code of Ethics, we're also going to be looking at the Planning Committee as well. Look at what the proper role of the board should be in these development issues, mm-hmm. as to whether or not we ought to, I guess, maybe look to staff to make these decisions and take some of them away from the committee. But I don't want to draw any conclusions yet, but just to at least put people on notice that we're working on that, and the general counsel will come back to us with some suggestions on that going forward.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, is anything else to come before the committee? Okay, hearing none, the committee will rise. Take care.
Done.